Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
On June 10th, the Centers for Disease Control released, quote, sexual identity, sex of sexual contacts, and health risk behaviors among students in grades 9 through 12, youth risk behavior surveillance, selected sites, United States 2001 to 2009, and end quote. The stats for this study were taken from the answers to the NOSI questionnaire, youth risk behavior surveys, given to students without parents' knowledge or consent. The numbers are very disturbing, but do schools and the public in general react differently to a young 12 to 13-year-old boy having sex with another male in their early 20s than they do if a young 12 to 13-year-old girl is having sex with a male adult in his early 20s? In fact, do schools help normalize homosexual sex? Penn State and now Syracuse coaches have been charged with sexual molestation of young boys. America is understandably outraged, but we should also be looking at what is being promoted in our public schools and take a hard look at the CDC statistics to prove how very wrong, quote, tolerant schools have been. Have too many decisions made from the top given our youth a culture that is confused about child-adult sex? My guest today is Linda Harvey. She's the president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for taking time to be with us.
Oh, thanks, Diane, for having me on.
This report, actually, I didn't make the connection between your article and this report until I more thoroughly read it and followed the links on you in your article. But I had read it when it first came out. It probably was actually January. And Pennsylvania wasn't included in that because we don't include sexual identity in the survey.
Right.
And so I didn't pay that much attention to it until your article, that you wrote. And then I read more closely that report, and it is extremely disturbing. And even though they looked at just a few states that include the sexual orientation component to the study, it's amazing that they can't connect the dots.
Right. I mean, first of all, most people will be familiar, if you've had kids in the public schools, with these youth risk behavior surveys.
Mm-hmm.
They've been out for years.
I'm much more familiar now than when my kids were in school, believe me.
Right. And they've been out for years, mm-hmm. and they ask kids, you know, firearms, smoking, seatbelt use, everything, how you eat,
right.
all these things. But then
right.
in the last few years, they've been throwing in, they do have sexual questions, but they've been getting more and more intrusive, and especially in the more blue areas of the country, now not Pennsylvania,
yes.
but, you know, San Francisco, Boston, New York City, have asked kids, and these are starting in ninth grade, about sexual orientation. So
mm-hmm.
they're asking kids to label themselves with these sin identities. Well, then they ask questions in those areas. They follow up with, have you had sex? And then they ask about people before age 13. This is what really got me. I mean, there's several different things, so much in this
mm-hmm.
report to report on, but the one thing that got me was when they ask kids retrospectively, looking back in your young life, did you have sex before age 13? The kids that identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual were four times more likely to report sex before age 13.
Four times as more likely to
right.
have that. Wow.
So take that information, then look at the Penn State thing. What
mm-hmm.
they don't do in this survey, which is just, to me, criminal with these kids, because you ask them these very intrusive questions, then you don't follow up with the obvious question, how old were
mm-hmm.
the partners of these sexual contacts?
Right, right.
They're just assuming, I think, here, that this is all peer related, and that would be bad enough.
Well, that absolutely would be bad enough, but then we look at the situation like Penn State
exactly.
or the basketball coach at Syracuse University.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is extremely disturbing that they're not doing that. And
right.
when we read, unfortunately, two regular bases that young men, say 20, 21,
mm-hmm.
are charged with sexual assault when they've had sex with a 16-year-old girl.
Right.
They're just not on an equal playing field. I mean, both situations, it's not right. If a 21-year-old man is having sex with a 16-year-old girl, that's not right, obviously.
Right.
But one of the things that jumped out at me was at the very beginning of that report, it lists the definitions and problems, you know, that they found as a result of this study mm-hmm. in the report. And it talks about sexual minority youth.
Yeah.
And then that defines that, you know, our youths who identify themselves as gay or lesbian, bisexual, or unsure of their sexual identity.
Right.
Or youth who have only had sexual contact with persons of the same sex or both sexes. You know, that whole word, sexual minority, that is becoming more prevalent. That word in itself is a problem.
Exactly. I mean, they're setting this all up, as they have continued to, as if this were inborn, unchangeable, which it is absolutely not. There is no evidence to that effect. In fact, you can read lots and lots among the homosexual community itself that will tell you that it's fluid and changeable. And, of course, what is bisexuality? It's fluid and changeable.
Yeah.
That screams change. So
absolutely.
These folks do not deal with rational and logical premises to begin with. They have faulty assumptions. They go from those faulty assumptions to even faultier assumptions, as if this is like race, and that it's defensible.
Exactly.
It's not. It's immoral, high-risk, decadent behavior that nobody should be promoting to adults, much less to children, and not be classifying it the same as something like race, which is unchangeable and is neutral.
Right. That whole sexual minority thing, to me, it diverts their attention away from probable sexual assault, such as what this report, the CDC report's talking about. You know, it draws their attention away from that, and they try to make it a civil rights issue. As you're saying, they're trying to make it immutable, and, you know, they're born that way. Which they themselves, if you read their writings enough, you will see that they themselves, like you're saying, say it's sexuality is fluid.
Right, and the other piece of this, which the parental rights folks are very familiar with, is all this, these are all sort of interlooping, intertwined leftist issues, but the trying to empower the child, the child empowerment through the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, and trying to change that, and the U.S. is the only holdout on that, and thank goodness we are, at the UN, but a lot of that, those ideas have continued on despite our opposition and filtered through, but basically letting kids be empowered to make decisions outside of the purview of parents that are in healthcare and everything else,
absolutely.
Sexuality and religion, everything else.
And schools are really pushing that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very much a part of the agenda, not only on the homosexual issue, but also just, you know, Planned Parenthood's right in there with their, you know, handing out condoms and stuff.
Right, and Planned Parenthood likes this, because they want to be able to have more and more younger and younger kids, if they need to, be able to come for very lucrative abortions and bypass parental notification and consent. So, you know, the idea that parents are a problem, that they get in your way for all of these behaviors that you have a right to do, is atrocious and really abandons children. It really abandons them. And the other part of this, of course, what people are not really grasping, or else they're ignoring with these kinds of surveys, is you have a responsibility when you ask a child a question. The asking of the question presents certain expectations in the child.
Mm-hmm.
It has an effect on the child. First of all, asking them to declare their sexual orientation gives it a validity that it does not deserve.
Okay? Exactly.
You've already said, we think this is an optional behavior and that it's probably inborn. So you've already just reinforced something that is false. It's absolutely false, and there's no scientific backing for it, just activist backing for it. The second thing, though, is when you ask a question about a child's sexual contact before age 13, and it's highly likely that many of these kids, it was an older teenager or an adult who initiated that contact. And then you don't ask the follow-up question about the age. You've communicated to the kid, we don't care. We don't intend to intervene. We're going to just let you handle that. And once more, a child who's been victimized already is probably being victimized again just by your lack of care in asking a follow-up.
Lack of concern, absolutely.
Lack of follow-up.
Right.
You know, nobody's intervening for these kids. They have been abandoned once, they're being abandoned again.
And they're being given the green light that it's okay that you're engaged in sexual activity, and like you're saying, it doesn't matter what the age is, and so, you know, we've given you the green light to go ahead.
It's but also, green light to go ahead for no matter what, and it was a green light for that person, that adult, to victimize you.
Right, and that there's nothing abnormal about that.
Right,
that's the message the kids are being told. And that's one thing that Planned Parenthood has gotten in trouble with, because these young girls going in for abortions, and many times it's an older man taking her in, but Planned Parenthood has gotten in trouble because they are a reporting agent, and they are supposed to report sexual assault.
Right.
And schools are reporting agents. Who gets this? This is a CDC, this is a surveillance, and that goes right through the government? Wouldn't they be a reporting agent? I mean, shouldn't they be following up on these sexual liaisons that these boys...
Exactly. I mean, the thing that is so horrendous about this is that it's coming from the CDC.
Yeah.
They themselves have all the ammunition they need to be showing how, you know, HIV is increasing among youth. The HIV incidence in general in our culture continues to be about the same. You know, there's thousands and thousands of new HIV cases a year among men who have sex with men.
In fact, I read where almost half of all HIV cases are men who have sex with men.
Oh, and it's more than half. Yeah, it's a little more than half.
And the fastest growing age group is...
13 to 24.
Right. 13 to 24. Right there should be a message to the CDC and to these schools. You should not be promoting homosexuality. They're just not connecting the dots now. But we have schools who, and thanks to the federal government, just gave GLSEN. CDC actually just approved a $285,000 annually renewable grant for the next 5 years to go into schools with their message that gay is okay. And Philadelphia School District is one of those school districts where GLSEN, beginning in September, I think if they started this year, they're in Philadelphia school districts. There was just a recent report of a fourth grade boy who was sexually molested in school. I mean, people connect the dots here. But I know you did some research into some of the books that GLSEN was promoting on their website.
Right. The thing that it really gets you is that when you look back on what GLSEN has been saying and you connect the dots this way, for years they have had books that you read the books, they're either novels or they're nonfiction books that supposedly are adults looking back on their early teen years. There's one called Queer 13, Lesbian and Gay Writers Recall 7th Grade. They have a passage in there that clearly is both neutral in a kind of a disgusting way, even promoting restroom cruising by a 13-year-old. Basically, he's molested by an adult, first of all, whom he's never met, in a restroom. And at first, he's kind of repulsed by it, and then he likes it, and he starts cruising. I mean,
a 13-year-old.
A 13-year-old.
And this was a book that the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network was actually selling on their website.
Right. They weren't they had a link to Amazon. But they were promoting it as one of their books for, you know, under their book link. So there's that one. There's Growing Up Gay, Growing Up Lesbian was another one where a 15-year-old boy, again, it's adults supposedly writing in little incidents and scenarios about their narratives about their growing up years, and one of them has a boy who's 15 whose father evidently, he calls him by his first name, Derek, but his father evidently is homosexual. And it was one of his father's friends who they had sex together when this boy was 15. And the boy, the man tells it from the point of view that when he was 15, he initiated the contact. This is NAMBLA loves this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the pedophiles love this because they want to empower children to choose, quote unquote, this behavior themselves. Well, if you sexualize a child early, the child may be persuaded that that's what they did. It's still molestation. It's still assault. It's exploitative, and it's very damaging. And
Absolutely.
There's no way you can get around that.
In fact, I just read an article last night out of Hollywood where it was a Hollywood manager of child stars was just charged with sexual molestation of one of his clients. And this young man who was molested, it was when he was 11 or 12, and he's now 18. But one of the things that this Hollywood child star manager told him, you know, during the molestation or afterwards, that this is what we do. You know, this is very prevalent, very, very prevalent in Hollywood, in the acting arena.
Yeah. I have read that before, too, that this, you know, first of all, there's, again, the issue of younger and younger and younger child actors.
Right.
Being used in a more and more explicit roles.
That's true.
It's both wrong for the viewer, but it's an assault. It's just
it's
like child pornography. It's an assault on the child who's the actor.
Right.
And, you know, we just don't care. You get the feeling people just don't care. It's adults with their own sexual proclivities using children.
Yeah.
Using children for whatever purpose
And I think that all, we're kind of off track here, but I think it's all part of the desensitization that's we've been going through for decades now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and children being used this way is just part of the desensitization because it's just reaching further and further and getting further away from anything that's normal into what
exactly.
We're using
kids. And, you know, the position these folks take is that basically parents are the enemy and
yes,
that they want to shield children from the idea that they want children to have a whole series of networks outside the home so that they are free to declare themselves homosexual or and go forward into these behaviors. They always have the tale of the young person who was supposedly kicked out of the home or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Most of those, I mean, those do exist. I want to give credit to that. I mean, that to be fair, that does happen. I think many times they are overblown because I know, like, one situation, for instance, which... I'm sure the girl, in fact, I know the girl involved did say that she was kicked out of her home. What actually happened was an older student molested a younger student, girls, in high school, and the parents were trying to put bounds on their relationship in the home. And after she rebelled, and the other family took her in, and she ended up living with the family of her teenage lover.
Wow.
Because
her parents tried to set some guidelines and she didn't
want
to adhere to those, and so she left and moved in with the boyfriends.
And these are parents who could not have loved her more, were trying desperately to figure out
And that's one thing, you know, these people are saying that parents are the problem because there was one, in fact, I think you quoted him in your article, this Gary Howe, the Illinois Psychological Association chair, who says that he notes that the coming out process and unaccepting parents are some reasons gay youth engage in risky behaviors.
Even the CDC itself, after with all the data they have a page on at-risk youth about HIV, and they themselves will say things like it's
the parents
because they're stigmatized. There's a reason they're taking risks. That's not true.
No, I personally think that they feel guilty. And they feel that they've been abandoned. And I think things like this youth survey, and like you have said, just a little bit ago, you know, they've responded that they've been involved in sexual activity with someone of the same sex, but no one's asking them the question, how old was your partner? So the message that they're getting is that gay is okay, that what you're doing is okay, and I mean their natural inclination is that this is not right. This, you know, what I'm doing is not right, but everybody's telling me it is right. So they're totally torn between what deep inside they know is wrong, but yet people who they respect are telling them it's right.
Right. I mean, you can sexualize kids early, and because it is sex and it's a powerful emotion, especially boys, adolescent boys, they will go for it. But the reason, one of the many reasons we don't have kids be involved in sex early is because they don't have the maturity level to deal with channeling it into an appropriate and productive part of their life rather than becoming basically like barbarians.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, young kids who are sexualized early often almost always have other issues, crime, you know, they don't get educational
or they themselves
issues.
Become a sexual predator.
Yeah, they themselves become a predator. Yeah. I mean, these are kids that turn.
In fact, that's one thing that did happen with the Syracuse, one of the boys who is accusing the Syracuse coach of molestation. He right now is facing charges in Maine for having sexually molested a 14-year-old.
He points
back to Coach Fine's molestation of him to having totally messed him up.
Wow.
And for the CDC to have all these statistics, like as you're saying, and to ignore them and to put the blame on parents to an extent for the homosexual youth's risky behavior is just, it's outrageous.
Well, the good news is that people are still outraged by this.
Yeah.
I'm so encouraged by that. And it is all a house of cards. It's just like the Catholic Church situation. It's not just like it, but it's similar in that people, the only way they're gonna deal with that issue is to recognize that it was not heterosexual and homosexual molestation equally. It was almost all homosexual, male-to-male molestation, and it was frequently pubescent boys, which is very accepted if you go out on homosexual websites in the mainstream adult homosexual community among males. That's young boys are all over the place in their pornography and stuff. So they can't deny that this was a homosexual issue by and large, and unless you name it and define it as what it is, you're not going to be able to deal with it. So hopefully people will do it in this case.
Yeah, hopefully they will be, but the word homosexuals not been prevalent, not been hardly mentioned at all in the Penn State issue or the Syracuse issue, those molestation cases.
It's they treat it mentioned. As though, now here's the deal, they treat this as if molestation of boys by a man is different than adult homosexuals. And I'm not by any chance, any means saying that all men who are male are adult homosexuals will molest boys.
Right.
However, it is not a totally separate feeling by
right,
any means
right.
among so many people who do call themselves adult male homosexuals. In fact, there was one study that showed that inmates who were incarcerated mm-hmm. for child molestation were men who had molested boys. When asked what sexual identity are you, they called themselves homosexuals and identified as being male adult homosexuals. So there is a subset of that group that is quite active, very much identified with the homosexual mm-hmm. community, and the homosexual community has had these people in their umbrella for a long time. They defend them. There are people that are their heroes in Gay and Lesbian History Month, like Allen Ginsberg, who are, you know, quite well-known boy lovers, as you call it, and they got to own up to this.
Oh, they absolutely have to. And they target young, you know, not just young boys, but young girls, too, for indoctrination into the very idea that gay is okay, and they're using the schools to get that message out loudly. Well, the Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network is pushing the gay straight alliances in the schools, and that all is because, let's face it, homosexuals in their relationships can't have children. So they have to perpetuate their lifestyle somewhere or the other, and the best way is to target young, impressionable children. And it's just, the kids are losing in this whole debate. That's what really concerns me. It's the kids who are getting misinformation, being told lies, and they are the victims here, whether they're actually sexual assault victims or not. They're still the victims of this whole agenda, and it is an agenda out there. What can parents do if they have kids in school?
Well, if there is any way at all possible, every person with a child in the public school needs to get that child out of the public school.
Yeah.
And Christian school or homeschool, not private non-parochial schools. They are some of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
We've just seen an article in the New York Times about a Philadelphia Quaker school on the main line in Philadelphia that is just shows
the sex ed program.
These people are way beyond mm-hmm. even the public schools, and they're often highly progressive, quote unquote, and all that brings. And so don't go there. But you know, get your kids out of public schools because
mm-hmm.
this stuff is only going to get worse. If you cannot, however, and there are many people that can't, you need to opt your child out of all sexual education
mm-hmm.
classes. That's number one. But number two, because it's throughout the social sciences, it's in literature, it's in the anti-bullying programs in so many schools, you need to be aware because this indoctrination, this idea that homosexuality is like race, is everywhere. You need to teach against that. You need to tell your children, you're going to hear some lies, and here are the lies you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm. and prepare them ahead of time.
And prepare them, but you need to opt them out wherever you can
mm-hmm.
and go and object. Learn the details
mm-hmm.
of these what's involved in the curriculum and go to the school board meetings
Absolutely.
And object.
And run for school board if need be.
Yes.
And get on that board and take some control back from the people who are pushing this kind of acceptance of, you know, of this lifestyle.
Right.
Because if parents don't object, if parents don't speak out, if parents don't run for school board, it's going to only get worse, as you're saying. And the article I've been referring to was an American Thinker on November 28th. It's called Boy Assault is a Crime, Not a Sexual Debut. And I encourage folks to go to American Thinker and check that out. It was on November 28th.
Okay.
So what is your contact information if folks want to contact you?
My website is missionamerica.com, and I'm also on Facebook and Twitter.
Twittering, huh?
Yes.
Oh, a whole new world out there.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So it's missionamerica.com, and folks can contact you through your website then.
Right.
Okay, appreciate it, and take care and keep writing those good articles.
And you too. Thank you so much for all you do, Diane.
Okay.
It's very invaluable.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.